Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and open them to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. And then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this, I looked, and behold, another like a leopard, with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Well, last week we saw that the book of Daniel is divided into two major sections. The first 6 chapters, which we finished a couple of weeks ago, make up the historical portion of the book. The little bit of prophecy in it. And then chapters 7 through 12 are primarily prophetic in nature with a little bit of history in it. Prophetically, chapters 7 through 12 extends all the way from the life of Daniel to the return of Christ. And it lays out for us God's redemptive plan for the ages. There is coming a time when the world will run its course. The Messiah will come and he will establish his kingdom on earth. He will free Israel not only from physical bondage, but also spiritual bondage, and will establish a glorious kingdom on earth in which the Israelites that remain will reign as his people. Now, in Daniel chapter 7 in verse 1, we saw that Daniel had a dream, and while he slept, God gave him a dream that was a revelation, that it was a vision. And in verse 2, Daniel says that he saw in that vision a great sea. And we saw last time that that great sea represents the masses of humanity, the nations of the world, and we had learned that also in the book of Revelation. And of course, there are many, many, many parallels that we find in the book of Revelation and Daniel, and all the things that we're going to talk about tonight are things that we saw in the book of Revelation. Well, Daniel also observes that the sea is in turbulence and violence, that it is being churned up by what is described as the four winds of the earth. And those winds, we said, may refer to the various elements of human sin that play upon the nations and stir up strife and turmoil and so impact the whole world. And so what you see there in those early verses is the earth in chaos and disorder. Daniel stands and he sees all of human history in turmoil, which is, we know the truth. We see that. We look at the history of the world right up to the present time, and we see the disorder and the disruption and the turmoil that's caused by man's nature, man's sin. Well, in verse 3, we're introduced to the great beast that represent four kingdoms. Out of the churning and raging sea of fallen humanity come these four superpowers, these four great empires that are bloody and powerful. And we saw this is really the same revelation we found in Daniel chapter 2, only we see it here from a different perspective. It's the same four world empires, but it's from a different perspective. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, was a pagan, and so his vision portrayed these things from man's viewpoint. And when Nebuchadnezzar saw these superpowers that would control the history, the destiny of the world, he saw them as this great, dazzling image. Because of his great pride, that's the way that he perceived himself and his kingdom of Babylon. But when Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7, sees these nations, because he sees with the eyes of God, he doesn't see splendor and spectacle. Instead, he sees dreadful beasts. He sees wild and uncontrolled animals, because that's God's perception. And of course, it's God's perception because it is their true state. It's who they really are. Now, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 4, we saw the first beast. And the Bible says that it was like a lion. And lions, of course, we saw were symbolic of the Babylonian Empire. But this lion's a little different. This lion has eagle's wings. And we saw that in the same way, lions are the king of the beast, eagles are the king of the birds. And so you have this compounded majesty and authority, because what God is showing us here is that Babylon was the pinnacle of monarchy. There was nothing else like it in the world. The power and authority of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar, was unmatched. And then we saw that its wings were plucked off, and understood that this was speaking of Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation in chapter 4, in the midst of his rule, because of his pride, God caused him to lose his mind and sent him out of the city to eat grass like an ox, and his fingernails became like a bird's claws, and hair covered his body, and he lived like an animal, and he had the mind of an animal, and that is what is represented by the plucking of the wings. And then, of course, later on, as the text tells us there, he was lifted up from the earth, and God restored his sanity to him, and he was made to stand upon his feet like a man, and a man's heart was given him in exchange for the heart of the beast, which he had for 7 years. And so we find in that first beast a unique reference to the kingdom of Babylon and its power. And we see the plucking of its wings, which is the insanity of Nebuchadnezzar, and then his restoration. And so we know the first beast, like a lion, represents Babylon. And we also saw that archaeology affirms that, and that it corresponds with the head of gold on the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, which also pictured Babylon. Okay, that's the review. Let's look at some new material tonight. Look with me at Daniel chapter 7 and verse 5. "And behold, another beast, a second one like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.'" Now, following the Babylonian Empire came the Medo-Persians, and we've studied that already in the historical section of Daniel. By the way, remember that the first six chapters, again, are primarily historical, and then chapters 7 through 12 backtrack. They are prophetic, but they backtrack. Historically, they backtrack into that historical period, and they pick up the visions that occurred during those first six chapters, okay? So these prophecies are, I want you to understand this, these prophecies are not being given after the events of chapters 1 through 6, but rather during the time period that is covered in those first chapters and before the events prophesied came to pass. And so the prophecy was given to Daniel that there would be another beast like a bear that would come up out of the sea, or that would come up out of the masses of humanity. Now, just like the last beast was not a lion, but was like a lion, that is, having some of the characteristics of a lion. This second beast is not a bear, but is like a bear. Now, the description of this beast is very interesting, and it's also very revealing, and it's a tremendous example of the accuracy of prophetic revelation. Daniel sees in the vision this second beast, second in sequence. And this beast, we already know, represents the Medo-Persian Empire. We know from Daniel's dream in chapter 2, and we also know from the end of chapter 5 when the Medo-Persian Empire conquered Babylon. That kingdom, Medo-Persia, was a fierce kingdom, and it was known for its bear-like strength and its fierceness in battle. The prophet Isaiah illustrates that in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 17 and 18, where he says, "Behold, I am stirring up the Medes against them," speaking of Babylon. This was a prophecy concerning the destruction of Babylon. "Behold, I am stirring up the Medes against them, who have no regard for silver and do not delight in gold." Nebuchadnezzar liked gold and silver. "Their bows will slaughter the young men. They will have no mercy on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes will not pity children." The Medo-Persian Empire was a ferocious kingdom. And so in this vision, after the kingdom of Babylon, Daniel sees the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, notice that it says in the text there that it was raised up on one side. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is very significant. And I want you to understand, folks, that God doesn't waste words. And everything that God says in the Bible is important. And that's why I stress the literal, historical, and grammatical interpretation. That's why I stress the importance of the nuances of the meaning of words in the original languages, because every word and every phrase is important. And so what does it mean here when it says that it was raised up on one side? Well, in the Medo-Persian Empire, which was a compound empire made up of the Medes and the Persians dominated the Medes. And they were the ones that had the greater influence, the greater power, the greater dominance. And so the side of the bear that was lifted up represents Persia. Now, notice something else that's important about this prophecy. Notice it also says it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. Now, what's that about? Well, these ribs that are in the mouth of this beast are obviously the remains of something that the bear has eaten, right? That makes sense. Well, what could that be? Well, in the context of this series of world powers, these ribs most likely represent the nations that had previously been dominant world powers and that had been devoured, all right? Before the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire, there had been in the history of the world only three dominant world empires. Number one was Egypt. Number two was Assyria. And number three, you already know, was Babylon. Number one was Egypt, number two was Assyria, and number three was Babylon. Those three nations are the ribs that are in the mouth of the Medo-Persian bear. Now, finally, this bear-like creature was told to arise and devour much flesh, and that's exactly what the Medo-Persian Empire did. It extended far beyond the boundaries of Babylon. It was ferocious and powerful, and it spread far beyond the prior kingdom. And it continued to rule much of the known world for 200 years until it was succeeded by another kingdom. Now look with me at verse 6. "After this, I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it." Now, this prophecy was given hundreds of years before it came to pass. And its details, like those of the Medo-Persian Empire, the details are absolutely incredible. It says that there will be a third nation like a leopard. And the leopard, you know, is known for its speed and its ability to chase down the swiftest of prey. The leopard, and this may be a reference to a subspecies, the cheetah, which is the fastest of all land animals. It can reach speeds of 75 miles an hour, and it can accelerate from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds. But this beast is not just said to be like a leopard, but notice what else we're told. It says, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. Now, a leopard or a cheetah is fast enough, but then you add the wings, and what you have is a beast capable of unbelievable speed. This clearly is a picture of the nation of Greece, which followed the Medo-Persian Empire and the great ruler of the Grecian period, Alexander the Great. Alexander conquered the known world faster than anyone in history. He ruled everything from Europe to India. He became king at the age of 20. By the time he was 33 years of age, he died. But before he died, he had conquered the whole known world, and it is said that he wept because there were no more lands to conquer. But that's not all. Notice what else we're told about this empire. The vision continues with these words, and the beast had 4 heads. So what does that mean? Well, when Alexander died in 323 BC at the age of 33, he was asked by his generals who he would choose to succeed him as king. Alexander's reply was, "To the best man." The result was, listen to this, this is the meaning of the 4 heads. This was prophesied hundreds of years before the Greek Empire and before Alexander was ever born. The result was that not one of his generals was strong enough to seize control of the whole kingdom, and the final phase of Alexander's Greek world empire was divided between his 4 generals. Their names, Cassander, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy. This is going to be important later, so hang on to this. The kingdom of Greece was divided among those 4. Cassander took the area of Greece and Macedonia. Lysimachus took Thrace and Asia Minor. Seleucus took Syria and the Middle East. And then, of course, Ptolemy took Egypt. The kingdom was divided among 4 generals, and dominion was given to it, the 4 heads of the third beast. Now, look at verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, in these verses, we see the 4th beast. And this beast is different because it didn't look like any normal animal. It's just what many choose to call a nondescript beast. Basically, it was what we would call today a monster. That's what it was. It was this great, grotesque, powerful monster. And again, as you read the description of this creature, it becomes evident that it is a representation of the empire that would follow Greece, which was the Roman Empire. Now, remember that this prophecy took place in the first year of Belshazzar's reign, which was 550 BC. Rome didn't finally become the dominant world empire until 63 BC, 487 years after the prophecy was given to Daniel. This was an amazing prediction that was fulfilled precisely as foretold, and there are portions of it that have not yet been fulfilled, but will be fulfilled in the future. And the fact that the portions that are now historical were fulfilled exactly as they were predicted gives us absolute certainty that the remainder of the prophecy will also be fulfilled precisely. Okay, let's look at the elements of this part of the prophecy. First, it says that it was terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. Those are just synonyms that are stacked together for effect, to create a striking image of the terror that was inspired by this beast. It had immense size and strength. It had great iron teeth. That speaks of its ability to crush and to devour and to smash and to shred. And then it stamped what was left with its feet. It was fierce and dreadful, ripping and tearing with its teeth and crushing everything underneath it. That's a very accurate picture of Rome's crushing legions that marched through the known world, conquering every place and every one in their path. At the height of its power in the first and second centuries AD, the Roman Empire covered most of Europe, North Africa, and parts of Asia, an area of about 2.2 million square miles. 60 million people, or as much as one-fifth of the world's population at the time, claimed citizenship of Rome, and as many as 120 million people lived within its borders. And if that doesn't give you enough of an idea of its size, let me just name for you the nations, the modern nations, that are within the borders of the ancient Roman Empire. These are the nations today that are inside of what was at that time the borders of the Roman Empire. Portugal, Spain, Andorra, United Kingdom, France, Monaco, Luxembourg, Belgium, Liechtenstein, Italy, San Marino, Vatican City, Malta, Austria, Czech Republic, Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Hungary, Yugoslavia, Albania, Greece, Macedonia, Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Syria, Iraq, Kuwait, Cyprus, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Sudan, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, and Palestine. All of that was within the borders, was under the rule of the Roman Empire. In 284 AD, the empire was divided into two, but supposedly equal empires, which, by the way, was pictured vividly and accurately, I might add, by the two legs of iron of the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream that we saw in Daniel chapter 2. The Western Empire was based in Rome. The Eastern Empire was based in Byzantium, which later became Constantinople. Each empire was ruled by a different emperor. That lasted until 476 AD, when Romulus, the last of the Roman emperors in the West, was overthrown by barbaric Germanic tribes, and I could list those for you, but it really doesn't matter. But the Eastern Empire continued for another 1,000 years until 1453 AD, when Turkish Muslims captured Constantinople. For over 1,500 years, the Roman Empire ruled. Now, someone might ask, well, you know, BJ, are you sure this is what these verses mean? Well, first I would say that it's pretty obvious as you look at history. History and archaeology have both confirmed that these things are true. But let's look at God's own interpretation. Of course, he doesn't give the names of the countries, but just look down in verses 15 through 17. He says there, as for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. And I approached one of those who was standing there and asked him the truth concerning all of this. And so he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. And so Daniel asked one of the angels to explain the meaning of the vision. And the angel says, well, these are four kings that will arise out of the earth. Now, there will be four world empires. And we already know from Scripture, from Daniel chapter 2 and from Daniel chapter 5, who the first two are. They are Babylon and Medo-Persia. I mean, that comes from the Scripture, from what we've studied already. So we know that. And so it's very easy to see that Greece and Rome are the last two. And as we have seen in the earlier verses, every detail was fulfilled. All of them have come and gone. And so we have identified the first four empires. Now, you might say, wait, what do you mean the first four? Isn't that all there are in this prophecy? Well, the answer to that is yes and no. It is the last of the four beasts representing historical nations that have come and have gone. However, we're going to see that there is a fifth empire coming in the future that is in reality an extension of the fourth, a revival or an extension of the fourth. Look with me at the end of verse 7. This was added at the very end, these words, and it had 10 horns. Now, that's not just an afterthought. That John, oh yeah, it had 10 horns. That's not what that's about. It's placed there for specific purpose because this part of the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. No empire has ever taken the place of Rome. There have been many attempts by many different people over many centuries since the fall of Constantinople in 1453, including Hitler. But no one has succeeded in bringing it about, but it will happen. There is coming a time when there will be a revived Roman Empire. We talked about this extensively in the study of Revelation. And it's clear there in Revelation, we saw it also in Daniel chapter 2. Remember in Daniel chapter 2, the feet of iron mingled with clay. And then the 10 toes on the feet that correspond to the 10 horns that we see in Daniel chapter 7. In that final form of the Roman Empire, there will be 10 horns. Now, what are 10 horns? Well, in Scripture, a horn almost always refers to authority, to power, or perhaps to a king. So it appears that the final phase of the fourth empire will consist of a 10-nation federation, which we saw in our study of the book of Revelation, will likely be made up of Muslim nations that are within the boundaries of the old Roman Empire. And while we don't know for sure who those nations will be, some of the countries that fit into that designation. Remember, I just read you that list of all the nations that were in the old Roman Empire. Well, let me give you a few here that fit that designation: Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Kuwait, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Sudan, and Libya. Now, all of those nations except Kuwait and Lebanon, by the way, are also mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where the coming Islamic invasion of Israel is described, which we talked about at length also. We don't know what those nations are going to be yet. But there will be 10 nations who will come together and constitute this revival of this fourth great empire, the Roman Empire. We'll talk more about that. We'll deal in more detail next time as we get into chapter 7 and verse 8.